We're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to rock and roll. Yeah. Just want you to know, and this is important that you know this, 5 weeks from today is Easter. Wow. The reason it's important, because all your friends and families and those people you hate, you need to invite them to church. So, I'm shifting a little. We're still talking about the battle, but let me tell you what happened. Monday night we had prayer here, and boy, did I just get broken with this scripture that's in the Bible, and it says, Jesus said these words, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." Now, it's in my notes, and it's in the last of my notes, but I'm going to share it now, so I don't care. I'll share it twice. That word is called hupazo, the Greek word, and it's used in 16 verses in the New Testament, the word lifted. Only 3 times is it translated lifted. The other times, it's translated exalted. You get it? So, if he is exalted, he will draw all men to himself. I know tons of us in here are struggling with family and friends that we wish would come to know Jesus. Is that fair to say? Yes. Lift him up. Exalt him. I have people, you know, all I talk about is Jesus. People say, "Well, what'd you?" I got friends, you know, out and about. "What'd you speak on Sunday?" "Jesus." Because it's the truth, y'all. And listen, you know, we've been talking about the battle forever. You will constantly not win battles if you don't lift him up. That's where the power is. The reason it's his battle is because we lift him up. Now, that throws me into my sermon, kind of, sort of. And we're going to start actually in the Old Testament with a story that some of y'all should be familiar with. So our battle is his to win, and is only won by lifting him up, for real. That's even with this coronavirus thing, man. We've got to stop walking in fear. One of the greatest scriptures you can ever read is Psalms 91, because it talks about the whole thing. But it's not just words. God is for us and not against us, period, end of story. So, having said that, here we go. Great story here. Let me tell you what happened. The Israelites had finally left Egypt, and here they are in the wilderness, and here's what happened. So it says, "Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Or, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses." You ever been there? Impatient with the long journey. "They began to speak evil against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?" they complained. "There's nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. Now, had God not been the God that he is of mercy and grace, he would have been like us. When I was a child, I did not like broccoli, and my mother would make me..." Clear as day, we were headed to the circus. We're going to the circus. That's back when the circus was legit. Yeah. We were going to the circus, and she made me have to eat one bite of broccoli. I'm like, "Mom, I don't like broccoli. I can't eat broccoli, you know?" And "Well, then we're just not going to go to the circus." I mean, you know, I acquired a quick taste for broccoli right then. But see how this... And there is nothing worse than ingratitude, is there? Seriously, y'all. Can you imagine? God gives this, and it's supposedly very tasty manna, and they're sick of it. Now, here's the irony in this for me. The only reason that they're in the wilderness having to eat manna is because they disobeyed by not going into the promised land when they were supposed to. So it's God's fault. This is us, man. It's God's fault that my life's messed up, though it was me who made those choices, right? Anyway, What I love about God, though, in all instances, as aggravating as the people are, us, he still loves and gives grace and mercy. He is so absolutely amazing. So here's what happened after this griping session. So then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Coronavirus. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, this is greatness, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. If Moses would have been Steve, he would have said, I'm praying for you. I hope the snakes eat all of you up. You've been talking smack about me this whole time. But look what Moses did. The Bible says Moses prayed for the people. So Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8. Then the Lord told him, really odd, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. And all who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Again, this is very odd to me, unless you really kind of really get into it and look through what's really happening. So here was my first thought. Why a bronze snake and not one that's silver or gold? Why is that? Listen, if you go into the tabernacle back in the day when they had the tabernacle, then the tabernacle floated around until Solomon built the temple for the tabernacle. But the tabernacle was God's presence. And what would happen is the tabernacle was this, there was a big old fence around it. Then there was this courtyard. And then there was this tent that had two different areas in it. One of the areas was called the Holy of Holies, all right? Inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant and the laver and the candlestick and all this. All of this was made with gold. Now, the Ark was made with wood, but it was covered in solid gold. But when you come outside of the Holy of Holies, everything was made of bronze, because outside of the Holy of Holies is where they gave sacrifice. On the bronze altar, you've heard it called the brazen altar, they gave sacrifice for their sins. So the point is that I'm making is this. Outside of the tent, everything was bronze. And bronze is where God's judgment deals with sin. That's why it was made out of bronze and not gold. God wanted them to look at their sin. Now, here's the irony in it. I'm going to be told that with all you're ever talking about is Jesus. Yes, it's true. We're in a different covenant now. But at that point in time, that's what God, again, the bronze is where God's judgment dealt with sin. The priests would come up and they would kill the animal. This is at the bronze altar. Now, one time a year, the high priest got to go inside where the gold one was, because that's where God's presence resided, above the cherubs that were above the Ark of the Covenant. And there was this thing called the mercy seat, and inside the box was all the ugly stuff, the bud that budded, Aaron's rod that budded, because God had to prove that God had called Aaron. And then the Ten Commandments were in there because of all their disobedience. All this stuff was inside that, but above it was God's presence. And once a year, here's what's cool. Once a year, the high priest would go in, and he would make sacrifice that covered all of Israel for one full year. Some people that are supposed to be walking in this new covenant can't even get past that. Go back to the old covenant, at least you'll feel okay for a year. Here, Jesus took care of it all once and for all. Do you get it? And we have people that grovel every day about the stuff that they're doing. Well, man, back in the Old Testament, because what happened was all those sin offerings that were happening at the brazen altar, it didn't cover everything, because there was stuff that they did that they didn't know they did and all this kind of stuff. I don't know why I went through the whole thing, but that's the truth. So watch this. My next question was, not just why was it made out of bronze, but why a snake on the pole and not a dove? Because dove's God, right? Yeah. Well, let me tell you why. Because the snake on the pole represented sin. Let's go now. The cross represents sin. The empty cross represents life. All right? So then here's another question I had. Why a snake on the pole and not an apple? And what I mean by that is, you know, the apple or the fruit that Adam and Eve first ate. Right. Right. Remember that? Yeah. Well, see, why didn't God just put that up there? Because the snake actually represents human nature. Right. And what we tend to do, God wants us to see our rebellion, not just our one-time sin. Now, this is so cool because I'm talking about sin, 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 and y'all don't never hear me get to talk about this very much. But this is the truth, because until we recognize how evil we are, we will never ask for a Savior to fix us and help us. It's just the truth. So, here's the problem. We focus on our sin at hand rather than on our evil nature. So when we view our evil nature, the snake-created nature, we quit grading sin and we see that we have no chance without grace. We've got no chance. You can pick your sin. You can stack your sins. We stack them. We normally stack them in order of what we don't struggle with. So we're going to throw homosexuality at the top and eating too much at the bottom. You get it? Because that's human nature. That's the evil of us. Here's what I love about God. Here, this is Scripture. We love Scripture, don't we? Romans. So obviously the law applies to those to whom it was given. Watch. Its purpose is to keep people from having excuses. We will never need a Savior if we don't recognize we need a Savior. And the funny thing about that, it's not just about Him being a Savior. It's about how much He loves us and cares for us and wants to hold us and coddle with us. It's just amazing. So it's to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty. You're guilty. That sound good? We are guilty. But because of what Christ did, we are seen as not guilty. Amen. So the entire world's guilty before God. Now watch this, because no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands, because we cannot do what the law commands. We can't even do the top 10, and there's 613 of them. You can't do it. So no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Watch this. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. God put the bronze snake on the pole because He wanted Israel to see how ugly and terrible they were. Now, the interesting thing is, if they would look up at it, He healed them. No Christ yet. So let's look at it in our language now. Again, we're still in Romans. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Watch. Because you belong to Him, lift Him up. Here's my struggle, and this is what I get when I'm praying. There's a lot of folks that proclaim that they're believers, but they really don't believe. And so the life continues to fall apart because you got to really lift Christ up, because when you lift Christ up, He will draw men. He will draw you to Himself. It's when we don't lift Him up. It's when we do try to decide which sin is what, and you know, well, that's a fat snake, skinny snake, rattlesnake, whatever. So now watch this. This is goodness. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. You have already been freed, ladies and gentlemen, from the power of sin that leads to death. Now look at this. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. Thank God for God. He sent His own Son in a body just like our bodies that we sinners have, yet He never sinned. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. If you really want to study this out and compare it to the Old Testament and everything, man, read Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. It's awesome because it talks about how Jesus is our high priest now. So no longer does anybody have to walk in. No longer does a high priest once a year have to go in and do the sins for all the people. Now Christ is our thing. And there was a veil, by the way, between the Holy of Holies and the sanctuary part. And the priests, any priest could come into the first part of the tent, but nobody could go into the Holy of Holies. High priest is the only one who could ever go in there. And again, that was just once a year. So they could go in there. But here's what I love. When Christ died on the cross, y'all, do you not remember the Bible says that from top to bottom, the veil ripped in two? What does that mean? That means we no longer cannot anybody go in. Now all of us can go in and walk in the wholeness of who he is, not us. That's why we can boldly go in, because we got nothing to hide. He took care of all of it for us. And I'm almost preaching an Easter sermon. So now watch, verse 4. He did this. Why did Christ die for our sins? He did this so that the just requirement, in other words, so that the requirement that had to take place because God is holy and perfect, the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature. We no longer follow the snake on the pole. But instead, we follow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Christ left for us on this earth. That's pretty powerful. So here's my closing thoughts, kind of closing. So God's answer to the snake problem was rather odd. I said that earlier. Make a bronze snake and elevate it so the people can see it. He wanted them to see how ugly they were. That's what the law did. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 2, it's a mirror so that we can see how ugly we are. Have you not done it? Got a big old zit on your face or something? You don't even want to look in the mirror because you feel like it's this big. When you look in the mirror, it's really not that big. So only one or two things can happen when you see the ugly in the mirror. You get something to fix the ugly, or you walk away from the mirror and act like it isn't there. Right? That's really the truth. That's why I don't like to look in the mirror much. I like me that I like my mind and everything. I don't like my body, just so you know. I'm going to leave that right there. I had so many thoughts, man, and I could feel the tension from my wife knowing I had those thoughts. Answer your phone. Here's what I want you to notice. Somebody's phone's ringing. I'm sorry. You can answer it. You can tell them, hey, why aren't you in church? You overslept, didn't you? You know, something like that. Now, here's what I want you to notice, guys. Notice God didn't remove the snakes from the camp. This has been the mantra of church for years and years, trying to remove the snake from the camp. What he did was he made people look up for their salvation and their healing. If they did not look up to the snake on the pole, they were snake bitten and died. I'm sure some of them said, did Moses really hear God about this snake thing? I'm sure some of them set up groups to to learn how to cast out and kill snakes. But God wanted Israel to focus on sin, rebellion, and their human nature. But what we've been taught is to focus on the symptoms of our rebellion, the lies, the lust, the desires, the addictive behaviors, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe we can put on leggings and not get snake bit, or create an anti-venom kit, coronavirus, or train for the marathon and outrun the snakes. That's been our mindset. God says, see your sin, and then see an empty cross. Because until you take Christ off the cross, you will never walk in the fullness of life. He is not on the cross. It is empty. It drives me crazy, by the way, just so you know, because of my understanding of the Word and Jesus and everything. It drives me crazy to see a cross with Jesus on it, whether around somebody's neck or whatever. It drives me crazy because that's the snake on the pole. He was hammered with every bit of what God was having them view, the snake on the pole. But let me tell you something, He completed his course. So, here again, I'm saying my conclusion again. So why did God put the snake on the pole? I'm going to show you something. Not just to save Israel, but to show us that he's going to save us too. We all know John 3:16, don't we?
Yes.
Let's do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting. And see, you know, I notice most of you are like me. You know it in King James Version. Yeah, that's the way it is. Unfortunately, we don't know the two verses before it. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Hupsao. So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world. This is the NIV. So God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Those are the words of Jesus. And of course, he was talking about he was going to have to be lifted up. And again, I told you what that Greek word means. It's shown 16 times, it's three times, all in John, by the way. Three times, all in John, the word lifted is translated lifted. But in all the other verses in the Scripture in the New Testament, it's exalted. So watch. The snake pole saved the lives of those who would look up. The empty cross saves the lives of those who believe in Jesus. The snake pole was a reminder of Israel's sinful nature. The empty cross is a reminder that it is finished. Tetelestai is the word. You've heard me say it a million times because it's true. It is finished. Literally means completely finished. I've used the example, and it's one of the greatest examples to use, is Michelangelo when he did the Sistine Chapel, laying on his back for 20 years. And he was a perfectionist beyond belief. For 2 years, he did touch-up. He did touch-up, made sure it was perfect in the Sistine Chapel. But at some point in time, he looked at it and found no fault in it. It was perfect and complete. And he said, Tetelestai. They used to say when they had merchants and stuff, when you finish paying off your car, that's what they would say, Tetelestai. It's finished. It's over. It's done. It's complete. There's nothing left to accomplish. How cool is that? So I wrote a little ditty, and here it is, and then my wife's coming. I want you to look at the cross. I want you to see that it's empty. The cross is empty. Christ was not crippled for us. He died for us. And he died for us to set us free. And until we learn to lift him and exalt him, we'll never get that freedom. So exalt Jesus up. I didn't say lift. I used the other translation. Exalt Jesus up. He's the only one that will ever win your battle, and he's the only hope mankind has. If you're struggling, if you have family that you just know they need Jesus, lift him up. Exalt Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Walk with Jesus. You don't have to be ashamed of Jesus. You know, it's just amazing to me. Y'all, he's everything. He's the only thing we got, man. He's the only thing we got. And just in your process of life, lift him up. Exalt his name forever, as the old song says. But it's true. It's all about him and not about us.